As the situation unfolded in the iconoclastic controversy, first with Leo III, and particularly as the iconoclastic controversy went into its extreme phase under Constantine V, the popes became increasingly alarmed at what was going on in Constantinople. Numerous artists and monks fled to Italy, spreading horrors, stories about Constantine V. He had married nuns and monks. He was the new Ahab. All of the insulting language that I had mentioned earlier about Constantine V circulated. In 754, Constantine actually summoned his own ecumenical council, and 330 bishops passed an iconoclastic definition of the faith. All of this alarmed the papacy to a great degree and eventually forced the papacy to look north. At the same time, Constantine V, as his father Leo III, looked to the eastern frontier. The dynastic civil war in the Arabic Empire, the struggle between the Umayyads and Abbasids, distracted imperial efforts east. They were fighting on the Euphrates. Forces were being pulled from Italy. And the Lombards were really getting out of control, as obnoxious barbarians are wont to do. And so the Pope really had no choice at this point, given the religious and military situation, but to look north. Pepin was invited into Italy. Pepin made short work of the Lombards. He beat them up quite successfully. And in 754, he gave, or should I say, confirmed papal control over central Italy, the so-called donation of Pepin. This became the basis of the Papal States. And this arrangement climaxed in the pontificate of Leo III on Christmas Day in 800 AD. Even the restoration of icons did not go far enough to allay papal fears of what was going on in Constantinople. In fact, the person who restored icons, Irene, was hardly your idea of a imperial protector. She had blinded her own son. She was a notorious empress. And so what Leo III did was crown Charlemagne Emperor of the West, and confirm the emergence of a Western Roman Empire, or Holy Roman Empire, as it came to be known. And this, of course, caused outrage in Constantinople. But the imperial government from now on had to face the fact that in the West there was a political order centered first in France and in the 10th century in Germany and Italy that claimed the Roman legacy and claimed some sort of political equality or even superiority to Constantinople. And Rome had henceforth moved out of the Byzantine orbit and aligned itself on the great axis running from Rome through the lowlands and the Rhine to London, reorienting itself on the Germanic and Celtic peoples of Western and Central Europe. That is what the Act of 800 represented. And as I say, iconoclasm was the final push of moving Rome to align herself with the peoples of the West. Henceforth, contact between Rome and Constantinople becomes quite limited. And in the course of the 9th, 10th, and 11th century, the worship in both the Orthodox and Catholic Church tends to diverge. And there's differences in liturgy. For instance, the Western Church will use the unleavened bread at the Eucharist. The Greek Church uses the leavened bread. The idea is the leavening represents the Holy Spirit. The way the sign of the cross is made. Other minor details in liturgy increasingly take on cultural and religious significance that slowly divide the Western and Eastern churches. And when these faiths come back into close contact in the period of the Crusades, they have gone quite a far distance from each other. Now, iconoclasm also had a major impact in the Byzantine world and in what I would call the East as well, in East Christendom. Once the controversy was settled in 843, Constantinople faced some of the same issues that the Pope in Rome faced. Patriarch and emperor really had a choice of where they should look. At the moment, the chance of taking back Syria and Egypt, long gone, rather than looking east, they too looked north. And in their case, they looked to the Balkans, to the regions that were once part of the Roman European provinces of the Eastern Empire. They also looked to Russia. And here, the triumph of the icons, the reestablishment of the holy worship of the icons, the developing of the Orthodox liturgy and arts in the 9th and 10th century, gave missionaries from Constantinople a remarkable visual and a very rich tradition for carrying out missionary work.